Hello and welcome to Holden Village. Today is Wednesday, July 3rd, 2002. This session is entitled Humor Your Stress and is hosted by Karen Schneider Chen. This is part of her series, A Cheerful Heart is a Good Medicine. This is SCK-2002-03. Let's listen in and laugh.
My name is Karen Schneider Chen. I'm supposed to say that for the tape. And I'm here to talk about the S word. Now, we used to think four-letter words were bad. The S word, stressed. Seems like everybody's either overworked, overburdened, overextended, exhausted, frazzled, right? Pooped. We had this woman living with us from Mexico for 3 years, and she told me she had never heard the word stressed before. Till she came here. And the average, in the 1950s, the average people laughed an average of 18 minutes a day. So I'm going to ask you, how long do you think the average person today lasts?
Two.
I want to show you a little more, like five, less than 5 minutes a day. And that's attributed to stress that we live under. And today, today I'm talking about how to humor your stress, or I'm going to talk about how humor is beneficial for stress. So the thing is, like, you know, what is stress, right? That in its simplest form, it's any change that we have to adapt to. And there's a pioneer, Dr. Hans Selye. He's at the University of Washington. He's a long-time researcher in stress. And he says that stress is the wear and tear on our bodies as we adapt to change. And stress, the thing about stress is it can be positive or negative, depending on how you look at it. But each of us has the power to, within ourselves, to decide how to interpret stressful events. Okay? We can do it with wisdom, we can do it with patience, with compassion, accept it. And today, like I said, we're going to talk about dealing with stress through humor. You know, something really interesting, see the word stressed? Look what it is spelled backwards. Isn't that interesting?
Yeah.
Just out of curiosity, how many people was it stressful for to get here?
To hold them.
Oh. Yeah, probably not stressed now, though, right?
No, we went to the ice cream bar.
Well, so where does stress come from? There's kind of four basic sources of stress. I'm not going to talk too much about stress, okay? Just want to let you know. Because it's sort of the background. But four basic sources of stress. Our environment. Our environment, social, physiological, and our own thoughts. So in our environment, just out of curiosity, how many people are here from Seattle? Okay, weather. Weather is a big stressor in Seattle. In fact, people are always complaining about the rain, or if it's too hot, they're complaining about it's too hot. So a couple weeks ago, we had one day that was, 49 degrees, and a week later, it was 96. Does anyone live here anywhere where they don't complain about the weather? I'm just kind of curious.
No, in the Midwest, it's either rain too much or hasn't rained enough. I mean, the weather is what your opening conversation is with someone you meet and greet on.
Yeah. Boy, we sure had a lot of rain.
Whereas, you know, kids get up and they don't, you know, oh, it's raining, yay, oh, wow, you know, it's interesting. Noise, traffic. Again, in Seattle, we're in the top five countries for traffic, and I found this picture. Ooh, here's an example, here's our bridge. That's difficult. I've developed a lot of ways to cope with traffic. And have any of you come to the laughter club that I did earlier? Mm-hmm. Laughter is one way that I deal with it. Like if I'm, okay, you get the thought, you get on the freeway, you have to be somewhere in 15 minutes, right? And it's like, stop and go, stop and go. So one of the things I do, I have some other techniques, but one of them is just start laughing. I go, ha, 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 the traffic. And it really helps. Right, Nate? You can teach you some of this.
I'll never make it.
And pollution. Social stressors. Now, how many people here are parents? That is a biggie, right? Being a parent is one of the most stressful. I mean, you know, pleasurable and lots of fun, but stressful. I had this, one of my daughters a couple years ago, and she said, Mom,
Do you love everybody?
I thought, oh, I have a good writing. I really try to love everybody. I don't necessarily like everybody, but, you know, I really try to love everybody because I want the best for every person. But, okay, that's a good answer. So the next day, we were at Fred Meyer's, which is a department store near our house, and we were standing in line, and she goes, this guy goes, excuse me, Sarah, my mom loves you. Okay, that went on for about a week. I was afraid to go anywhere with her. But it gets me, she's always saying how I'm embarrassing to her. Is that the truth? They really won't get it to her. Okay, well, other social guests, does anyone else have anything they want to contribute? Standing in line? Or how about, like, you go to the store and you try to find the shortest line? And the line that's longer is going a lot faster. Yeah. You jump over to another line. Have you ever done that? Financial problems, disagreements. Remember the argument left? Oh. Demands on your time. Any kind of loss, unexpected situations. Like, I remember the day, I couldn't believe I got a dip. Then I got a flat tire on the freeway. And then... actually, this guy calls himself the Good Samaritan, drives up and down along the freeway, came and fixed my flat tire, and then I proceeded to get a dead battery about an hour later, and then I thought, that night I had a meeting, so I thought, oh, I'm staying out of cars, and I went, so I rode my bike to this meeting, and I had a flat tire every night. But you all about unexpected events. Does anyone have anything they want to contribute to the social stressors? Okay. Physiological. Oh, rapid growth in adolescence, illness. I have a friend, her name is Erin. She had multiple sclerosis, and she was in a nursing home for like 12 years. And she had a lot of spasticity, you know, like one of her hands would go here and one of her hands would go there. And you know what she did? She named them. One was Igor and one was Egbert. And so that she really coped with her illness through humor. I mean, she was like one of the funniest persons I knew, and she laughed all the time. But she'd say, Egbert, cut it out, Egbert. Egbert and Igor. It was Igor and Egbert. Cut it out, Igor. Hey, Egbert, what are you doing? Anyway, I think it's kind of amazing. Aging, right? We can't stop that. Now that I'm 50 years old, so I consider myself having a lot of junior moments. I I'm starting to appreciate aging jokes, right? You start really appreciating when you hit about 50. God, grant me the senility to forget the people I never liked anyway, the good fortune to run into the ones that I do, and the eyesight to tell the truth. Wow, wow, wow. Well, you guys, you can relate to this one. These days, I spend a lot of time thinking about the hereafter. I go somewhere to get something and then wonder what I'm here after.
So
stressors would be accidents, lack of exercise, poor nutrition, sleep disturbances, right? But something really nice about laughter, did you know it might help snoring? I know, sorry, they're doing some clinical tests on this in India. Interesting. Okay, your thoughts. Your brain interprets and translates the changes in your environment. So stress begins when you evaluate a situation as being difficult or dangerous. And so I wanted to talk a little bit about the fight or flight reflex that we all heard about, but I thought the best way is to do it through this person named, anyone here named Loretta LaRouche? She is so funny. She's a comedian who teaches stress management. And so I love the way she teaches about the fight or flight reflex. It's in traffic, like how it's activated when someone's in traffic. So watch this.
Now, if you don't believe me, I just want you to think of the morning commute. The morning commute. Have you noticed how some people drive? Now, some people, you know, they have their heads about them. They sort of drive in a happy fashion. La la la, la 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 la. When I get there, I'll get there. No problem.
Are you this like that?
These people want to live. Then we have people who want to get there. they want to, you know, say something about. So every few minutes, you know, they go, darn it. We'll get there. Then we have the people who are sort of in the 10 category. This is the highest category. They're the people who drive like pterodactyls. You can see the eyes bugging out of the head. The jaw tightens. The hands grip the wheel. And they start it. Where did all these cars come from? Jackasses. Idiots. Where did they get their license? Now, something very interesting happens because the body in its wisdom says, we got to help out. Something's going on. Now, the helping out phase was helpful when you were in a cave millions of years ago, because it's called fight or flight. See? You wanted to flee in case a saber-toothed tiger attacked your cave. But now you're in your car. The body doesn't know the difference. So it starts reacting like it's protecting itself from a tiger. So your eyes get narrow so you can see far. Your hearing becomes more acute so you can hear in case the animal leaves its vehicle and attacks yours. Your hands get clammy as blood flow rushes to the extremity so you can fight or flee. And your diaphragm and anus locker. Nature is wise. In front of you is a 78-year-old woman in a Buick. She's taking it slowly because she figures, hey, I want to live. She knows that's all she's got left. She's going for it. She doesn't know there's maniacs behind her squeezing with a spear. Reaction can get you into big trouble. And really, at the essence of a lot of stress is overreaction. Now, do I want to leave myself out of this? Absolutely not. I'm at...
Is she fed?
Yeah.
I wish I had time. I brought a couple of her videos. They're really fun to watch. Anyway, isn't that a great rendition of a fight or flight reflex that we all go through every day? Yes. Anyway, so the thing about stress is if it's left unmanaged or unchecked, some of the basic functions of the body can break down, and that can cause illness, you know, depression, increased pain if you have arthritis, even diabetes. So the successful management of the stress involves to attain a feeling of control and having some way to vent your frustration, and also to create the perception that things are going to get better. And humor does all of those things. That's what is wonderful. And what I'd like to do first is, I love quotes, so I'm going to pass out some more quotes. Oh my gosh. Somehow I got a smile on me. You know what happened right before you guys came in? All my cards fell down. Yeah. Okay, here they're down. Okay. I'm going to pass some quotes out, okay? Say about humor. Actually, that one fell out too. Sorry about that. Yeah. Anyone else like humor? Great. How about you? Okay. Here. Are you? Thank you. One more.
Oh, actually.
Oh, this is a good one here. This is a big one. One more person? How about you? Okay. But I'll read this one first. You remember Norman Cousins? Mm-hmm. He says, I see humor as food. I don't think that the only time people should eat food is when they are ill. An adequate share of humor and laughter represent essential part of the diet of a healthy person.
Humor is a reminder that no matter how high the throne one sits on one's bottom.
This is Henry Ward Beecher. A person without a sense of humor is like a wagon without springs, jolted by every pebble in the road.
This is by Moshe Waldau. A sense of humor can help you overlook the unattractive, tolerate the unpleasant, cope with the unexpected, and smile through the unbearable.
This is by Ron Dettinger. Humor has a way of bringing people together. It unites people. In fact, I'm rather serious when I suggest that someone should plant a few whoopee cushions in the United Nations.
This is by Ken Olson. It says, God is a humorist. If you have any doubts about it, look in the mirror.
Optimism and humor are the grease and glue of life. Without both of them, we would never have survived our captivity. This is by Philip Butler, Vietnam POW.
This is in fact, there's a whole book written on POWs in Vietnam and how they survived through humor.
I realize that humor isn't for everyone. It's only for people who want to have fun, enjoy life, and feel alive.
Not for everybody.
By Marilyn Chandler, humor is a rich and versatile source of power, a spiritual resource very like prayer.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Is anyone anywhere? Okay, great. So now I'm going to talk about some ways that humor helps. Still kind of mixed up, so. Okay, through relax. See, there's a few things overlap with laughter, because interesting about humor is you can have humor without laughter, and you can have laughter without humor, actually. And you don't necessarily need a sense of humor even to laugh. That's very interesting. So anyway, relaxation. So when stress causes you to get upset or angry, then you know your muscle tension increases, and you kind of know that feeling, right? When you really tighten up. And then the increased muscles actually help to sustain and increase your anger and your upsetness. And so it actually produces kind of a vicious circle. But then the laughter through humor is in an automatic and natural release. And we all know that, because when you have a really good laugh, you fall down in your chair, or you see kids falling on the floor, or sometimes, I don't know, even sometimes I fall on the floor. Because the one thing is, sometimes you have muscles relaxed that you don't actually want to relax.
That's all, yeah.
Now, emotional release. Laughter helps discharge the tension, or humor and laughter help discharge the tension associated with distressful emotions. And so when you're having a day, you know, with lots of stressors in it, that's a good time to find something to laugh at or think about something to laugh at. And so I have for myself an image of something that whenever I want to laugh, I just think about it. It happened a little while ago. I was on a bus in Seattle, and I was like in the front row, and there's another woman sitting across from me, and she was putting on her makeup and putting her hair and just kind of getting herself ready. I was like, I don't know, that's no big deal. And all of a sudden, she goes, Oh, I can believe it. So when I want to laugh, I think of that. And there's a really interesting story about Abe Lincoln, which I love, which really illustrates this emotional release. This is a true story. During one of the darkest times of the Civil War, when either the North or South were winning, Abe Lincoln called a cabinet meeting. And before he started the session, the cabinet meeting, he read a chapter from a book of humor. Well, the other cabinet members were becoming indignant. They were thinking, well, why is he doing this? You know, we're really important people. This is a serious thing. Why are you doing such a frivolous thing? And so this is what Lincoln said. He said, gentlemen, why don't you laugh? With the fearful strain that is on me day and night, I shall die if I do not laugh. You need this medicine as much as I. See, then he drew a sheet of paper out of his hat and read the first draft of the Emancipation Proclamation. Mm. Isn't that a great story?
Wow.
So that's a really good illustration. Okay, increased sense of control.
Well, the most important single cause of stress is that lack of power or lack of control or helplessness that you feel. And so finding something to laugh at in the midst of a problem helps one to feel more in control. And you remember Carol Burnett, the actress? Mm-hmm. She grew up in an alcoholic family where there was a lot of arguing. And what she did as a young child is she started giving points to her parents. When they would argue, she'd give each one points. That's what she thought was doing better. But that really helped her to kind of take a little more control over the situation. And it helped her to stop from being kind of a passive victim of it. So she made it into a kind of a game. So I think that's really interesting, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. Distraction. This one we are famous for. If you have children, distraction is a favorite. Distraction with humor. Jackie Kwan, you saw her in the movie, she was the clown. Oh, here's her book. So, Embracing the Magical Connection Between Positive Humor and Spirituality. Mm-hmm. She says, laughter is an elegant, simple, and direct way to bring someone into the present moment. So distraction is one of the number one ways to substitute a positive for a negative mood. And so it can break through the cycle of negative thoughts that lead to more negative thoughts, which trigger even more negative thoughts, right? So it's a way of just stopping that cycle. And so laughter and humor can help focus your attention in a more positive direction. And actually, one of the ways that I sort of distract myself in traffic, it's not really funny, but it is kind of me. I learned how to play four tunes on the harmonica. My daughter's name is Susanna. The first tune I learned was Susanna. But sometimes when I'm, don't feel like the laughing in the traffic, I pull this out and start playing, and I tell you, it's a great distractor. It's good to have some tools that, available to yourself in these situations, because it really makes a difference. Because then when I arrive where I am, I'm in a much better mood. So I think distraction, we use distraction a lot, don't we, with our kids. Actually, Viktor Frankl, do you know who Viktor Frankl is? Here's a quote from him. He was in a concentration camp during the Holocaust, and he said this: I never would have made it if I could not have laughed. It lifted me momentarily out of this horrible situation just enough to make it livable. So there's also a book about humor during the Holocaust, which is interesting. Maintenance of perspective. Okay. Woody Allen said, life is full of misery, lonely, and happiness, and it's all over too soon. And Peanuts, Charles Schultz said, my new philosophy is to dread only one day at a time. Has anyone here watched Saturday Night Live?
Yeah,
do you remember that Ed Gilda Radner character? Rosanna Deanna?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, she used to always say, oh, it's always something. If it's not one thing, it's another. Oh, it's always something. Well, if this times up your life, you might be getting caught up in minor hassles while losing sight of the big picture. Have you ever seen people go, they break their nail? Oh, my God! It's the end of the world, right? Mm-hmm. Or a wet towel on the bed. I'll tell you, the wet towel is not the same as a mugging.
Yeah.
So Rollo May said, humor is the healthy way of feeling a distance between oneself and the problem, a way of standing off and looking at one's problem with perspective. So humor enables us to take an emotional step back, and it puts us in a better position to substitute a positive for a negative one. Okay, well, the next one is substitute a positive for a negative one. So anything which helps a person maintain a more positive, upbeat, optimistic mood or outlook puts us in a better position to cope with stress. So humor can help, humor helps helps stimulate hope and motivates one to take action. And, there's been a lot of studies on how humor helps with mild depression. Not clinical depression, but mild depression. Okay, increased energy, decreased burnout. Well, you probably know, but anger and anxiety are energy-zapping emotions. And if you have a job or aspects of your life that are, that cause you a lot of stress day after day, anger, anxiety, depression, you live with that, drains your energy, and you need that you need to perform effectively. And here are, in this book, Help, Healing, and the Immune System. This is a really interesting book by Dr. Paul McGee. He actually trains people how to have a sense of humor or get a sense of humor. This is an 8-step program to improve your sense of humor. That's what I'm looking for. Because he asks, are you AADS? It's acquired amusement deficiency. And I think it's a remarkable book because I've had people come up to me that grew up in a pretty humorless home, you know, where their parents, people didn't laugh, and they really, really don't have a sense of humor, and they feel, you know, they would like to have a sense of humor. And this is a really excellent book for those kind of people. It's great. And anyway, it says, you know you're too stressed when you name all your pins and insist that the meeting can't start until they're all present. Your boss asks you to do something, you say, you want fries with that? You want to chew coffee beans. You tell the drive-thru attendant that your order is to go. You begin discussing the vitamin content of an acid tablet. Trees begin chasing you. The sun is too loud, and you develop an unnatural fear of staplers. So, I find it really too. Did anyone find that after, like for example, after a laughter session, you're kind of momentarily kind of tired and relaxed, and then you have a lot more energy?
Mm-hmm.
Yes, I did think it really is true. Now, the next part of my little program, I'm going to do some kind of like quirky, fun, stuff that are common sense, using this theme of enlightening ways to reduce stress. Okay? Does anyone have any comments they want to make? Okay, great. So, lighten up. That's the first one. Lighten up. Well, you know, as we know, people are so serious, right? Not here in Holden. Everybody's like, you're laughing, great, everything. But back, you know, in where we live, in reality, people are so serious. You know, you walk down the street and that's taken as a normal expression. Right? In fact, I've noticed that people smile. I think you're kind of weird. But what does it mean to take yourself lightly? It means, first of all, recognizing that we're not the center of the universe, and that, you know, we all have our own attitude and perspective, are only one of many. You know, it's the idea that we try to walk in other people's shoes. And I have this little thing here. This is a really interesting joke on perspective. Maybe I shouldn't have even said that. It says, I want people to guess what they think is in here. It says, 3-piece chicken dinner, no cholesterol. Can you guys see this back there? Anyone want to make a guess?
Bones.
Bones, okay. You want to guess?
Chicken bones. 3 pieces of corn.
Ah! You got it. You got the third person. She said 3 pieces of corn. Where are you from?
Spokane.
Oh my gosh. Okay. 3 pieces of corn. But you know, most people say things like bones, like you said, bones or eggs. You're only the third person. I've shown this to hundreds of people.
Wow.
A taxi driver in El Salvador got it. And one of the inmates where I work at the jail got it. And you!
I'm originally from a rural homestead in Wisconsin, so
that's what I was wondering.
And I've been raised in Spokane, I promise.
But it does show you something about perspective, right? We were taking the person's perspective. You took the chicken's perspective. I think this is great. The other thing is about taking ourselves lightly. Not to be so hard on ourselves. You know, I think the thing is, like, when you make a mistake, you're like, oh my God, I worry about it, and we don't get sleep over it. And you know, I was thinking, that's not like a great example to our children, right? Because we don't want them to be like that about their mistakes, do we?
No.
So we kind of want to model for them that, you know, mistake is just part of learning and it's an opportunity to grow.
Mm-hmm.
Now, this is the one Jimmy Durante. Oh well, if I don't mind it, I don't mind it. It got lost in my eyes. He has a cute thing about schnauzers. Anybody know what a schnauzel is?
No.
Anyway, I can't find it now. It got lost in my everything. But he says something like, I'm laughing at our schnauzels.
Okay, the last thing I want to say about lightening up is the importance of laughing at herself. I mean, that cannot be understated. He talks a lot about that in his book, and he actually suggests, you know, that to get some practice laughing at yourself is just think of some kind of funny story about yourself and just start telling it to people, just to kind of get used to the idea. And my kids love that, you know, they like to know, like, hey, Mom, tell us some really goofy things you did. They like to hear all the, like, naughty things they did or that kind of thing.
I have an example that my name is Nada, N-A-D-A, and in Spanish it's Nada, Nada, and it means nothing. Now, all my life growing up until, you know, my mid-20s, I hated my name because it meant nothing. Everybody laughed. And I didn't laugh. I didn't think it was funny at all. So not too many years, I mean, I started to like my name eventually in my 20s, but not too many years ago, we have a Spanish ministry at our church. And so we have all these Spanish people, and they see my name, and they go. And I started saying, my name means nothing, but I'm not nothing, I'm everything.
That's a wonderful
story.
Thank you, Nina.
Okay.
I'm a huge Spanish learner, and I'm not Thank you. Well, first of all, I think there should be a new beatitude. Mm-hmm. Blessed are those who can laugh at themselves, for they will be amused forever. Right? Okay. Like the way. This is about smiling. I've been reading a lot about smiling. I think it's just fascinating. Haven't you ever noticed how you meet somebody, you'll see somebody and they don't smile, right? And they're not that approachable. Then they smile and then it's like really beautiful. Mm-hmm. I work with inmates at a King County jail. And, you know, oftentimes I work with men and women, and some, you know, person will come up, they just like, you know, and then we talk and they start laughing and smiling, and then you just feel so different about people when they're just so more approachable. And I have some great quotes about smiling. Where do they go? I have this all. Where do they go?
While you're looking, can I make a comment about the smiling? I find that it's hard to teach young people some of these social skills about smiling, even my own children, to teach them, you know, when you're talking to somebody and you're introduced to somebody, one of the first things you can do is smile when you say hi to them. And they're just so quick to just not even give eye contact, and I keep focusing eye contact, smiling, you know, and it's kind of difficult because they've not learned it, you know, anywhere else. Except in the home, but they still think that I'm old-fashioned and I'm being corny because I think eye contact is important, the smile's important.
I wish they emphasized that at school.
Yeah. There's got to be a place where you can do that.
Bizarre. I can't find the smile one. What I wanted to say about smiling, and you know, obviously there's times you don't feel like smiling. It's not like I'm saying you should always walk around smiling if you don't feel like it. But you know what's interesting is they've done a lot of research on facial expressions. And this one man, Dr. Robert Zients, he's been studying this for years, and he discovered that how you look makes you feel a certain way, and found that even pretending to feel a certain way gets you there. They call it fake it till you make it. Have you heard of that? And there's this French neurologist, Guillaume Duchenne, and the Duchenne smile is named after him. And he found like a particular smile triggers a pleasure center in your brain. There's one particular smile. And the Duchenne smile is kind of like this. You have crow's feet, and you really have a big smile.
I'm just copying you.
No, what I like to do is everybody just try it. Let's try being grumpy first. I mean, as grumpy as you can be, like. Okay, you know, it takes 17 muscles to smile and like 43 to frown. Now let's try the Duchenne smile. Are we feeling
better? Are we feeling better? You look better.
Anyway, try waking up with a smile on your face. I think it really makes a difference. In fact, when I wake up in the morning, you know the laughter club, we go, I'm glad we're here. That's how I like to wake up. This is going to be a wonderful day, yes. And it really makes a difference because they say motion creates emotion. So doing motions like this
send messages to your brain that actually help you feel better. I think it's fascinating. And what it tells me is that we actually have more power over emotions than we think we do. Mm. And I'm not saying, oh, we should always be like, but it's more like when we get stuck. You know, a lot of times we get stuck in being a certain way. We get stuck in being, you know, it's a way to kind of to change that mood. And then you have, and then when you feel better, you can find the salt, you know? So I think it's interesting. Okay, step lightly. This is it. Okay, put a little zip in your step, you know, when you're walking around. You know how kids do a lot of funny movements? Mm-hmm. That is one way to actually help you reduce stress, by doing kind of a funny little movement. For example, if you do something, if you do a movement that is, well, it's tough to be stressed when you're doing something that's kind of incongruent to your stressor. For example, say you lost your keys. Twirl around. I lost my keys. The refrigerator broke down. Let's try something different. You know, or like try walking backwards. Yeah. I don't know if I'm going backwards or forwards with it, if I'm coming or going. Just any kind of like different kinds of movements. I mean, it really helps because we all get kind of stuck in just walking a certain way and being a certain way. But I have something I want to show you. There's a woman. When I took my training to be a certified laughter leader, there was a woman there that started a skipping movement. Her name is Kim Corbin. She's from San Francisco. And I have a little, she sent me a little film clip of her being interviewed on the news, because skipping is really kind of amazing. And you can feel, well, she says it on the website. How many people have skipped? Usually, sometimes I find a closet skipper.
Oh, yesterday, at boot camp this morning, he goes for it. Yep.
That's right. After boot camp yesterday, I'm a little sore. I'm going to do a little more genteel skipping. I'll introduce you to the queen of skips, Kim Corbin, coming up next in sports.
All right, this is day two. Day two of Shape Up with Shu. And Mike Schumann continues his finesse of fitness.
Yeah, this man is very secure in his masculinity, Shu.
After boot camp yesterday, I'm so sore I can barely walk. So I'm looking at something a little more genteel today. I'm going to introduce you to an Indiana native, Kim Corbin, the queen of skipping, who started a fitness trend that's turned into a nationwide event.
I don't know if I'd say it's like a religion, but I think it's definitely something that I'm trying to encourage people to find the courage to let go and stop worrying so much about what the rest of the world thinks, and to just let your unique and independent spirit be free.
Kim began this journey 2 years ago as she was looking for another way to exercise and had an epiphany.
A co-worker told me about her 4-year-old daughter asking her to skip with her, and she said, honey, adults don't skip. And the light bulb went off, and I thought, that's what I'm going to do. And then it's just been this amazing journey and process. It's surreal.
The key to adult skipping is to let yourself go, as it takes you back to your childlike behavior as a kid.
Yeah, I really think it does, because we're so caught up in our adult stresses in our minds, and when you're walking down the street, you're thinking about your bills and all the things you have to do, but when you skip, you're just completely free and in the moment, and you can't help but smile, and that's why skipping just really starts to support people.
Is skipping a good way to achieve better fitness?
It's tremendous with fitness. It actually conserves more calories than I'm assuming that's if you're skipping as fast as you run, because it's less efficient with the way that your muscles are used. Running is based out of from our just being animals, from our fight or flight reflex. You run to get away from things. And skipping is joyous. It's just completely in the moment and free. And I think that's a big difference as well.
Skipping has become so big, there are now 50 cities in the United States that have head skippers like Kim. And she went nationwide appearing in People magazine and on a nationally syndicated talk show. But do people think she's nuts?
Sometimes, yeah. But, you know, it's funny. My dad, when I first started, thought that I lost all of my marbles. And my whole theory is life's a little bit better when you lose a few marbles. Sure. You have to have fun.
I'm a couple of marbles short myself, so I related to skipping. I got back into it a little bit with my daughter. You should try it out. The biggest part is just getting over skipping and people saying, wow, that looks weird. And we'll introduce you to Kim coming up later in sports. Before I go, the Warriors finally win. First time since the All-Star break, they beat the Bulls, while the Sharks lose to the Blues. Now, Cameron and Christian, come on, let's get up. Let's everybody skip. Come on. Come on.
Okay.
I know you got some news to do, but...
Yeah, I guess because of how hard you skip.
There's no fitness, there's no rules, but it's great. You gotta try it. We'll see you next.
a man's man.
He is that.
Isn't that great?
So there's skipping in Seattle?
There's not a chance to skip in Seattle. I figured I better not be that person. My kids would just go, oh, my God. I'm going to surf. I laughed really bad for that.
Oh, Mom.
But I do it at the jail. Sometimes I show this to the women. And then we put all the chairs in the middle, and we go skipping around. And I tell you, it is so joyful. I actually can't think of anything more joyful than the laughing and skipping together, actually. It's just really... You didn't bring back your childhood when you were freer. So you skip still?
Yeah, a little bit, but I read that article about Kim Korbin just a couple months ago.
Oh, you did?
At the health club where I worked out, they had her article. I read the same thing about the woman whose daughter, 40-year-old daughter, asked her to skip with her, and she said, well, you know, adults don't skip.
Yeah.
So I skip with my 11-year-old. Kind of surprises her when I do it. I heard it's really good exercise too.
Yeah, it is really good. She lost 25 pounds. I think.
Wow.
Yeah. I think she said it's not as hard on her knees either as jogging.
Mm-hmm.
Can I understand that?
Oh, actually, right. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Well,
this is where the bottom is off on your
shoes. Yeah, faster. Discover your inner life. Okay, I'll be really quick about this. Discovery, you're like, this is where I was going to talk about some kind of meditation or some kind of, this is kind of interesting. I have a spiritual director, and she says that it's important to be able to sit and just let God love you. To sit and be and just let God love you. And she says that, you know, I mean, we do not spend enough time just sitting and being, and, you know, there's so much chaos and noise, and it's hard for me to, you know, relax too. But I think that even for like 5 minutes really makes a difference, and I know that really helps with stress. And I think, for me, something that I've been doing for about 15 years, I really try to keep the Sabbath on Sunday. And I have a friend who's Jewish, and I was really impressed. This was like 30 years ago when I knew this guy. I was so impressed because he kept the Sabbath. He, you know, he was kosher. And that just left such a big impression on me that probably about 15 years ago, I started kind of having my own, observing it myself. And now I have a family, of course. And so on Saturday nights we say a special prayer that kind of put together some different sources. And then on Sunday, I don't go to stores, I don't do gardening, which I enjoy, but I try not to do any work. And I have to tell you, my family doesn't necessarily come along with me because we don't do this within the community, which is what's really kind of sad to me. Because as Christians, I don't think we really keep the Sabbath, so I can't really say, well, you know, with all these other people doing it, I think Jewish people can do it a lot easier because they do it within a community. Mm-hmm. But for me, that is so helpful for stress. And I was just reading about an article about the Sabbath, and I hadn't really thought about this, but one thing to give up on the Sabbath is worry. You know, that's what I'm going to try to add into my practice, is like to just not even worry on the Sabbath. So I just wanted to throw that out. To delight yourself. Well, delight yourself, you know, here at Coleman, it's easy to delight ourselves in nature, right? But delight ourselves in nature, food, art, music. I have a friend from Ethiopia who lives in Seattle, and every day she does this. She goes outside and she goes, this is good! You know, she kind of looks at the sky and looks at the... And I think that's a beautiful way to approach life. And singing, I think it's really important to sing wherever you're at. You know, I know a lot of people are afraid to sing, or they feel like they can't sing, but, or whistle. I'm just kind of curious, how many people whistle? You guys whistle? I miss whistling. Do you whistle still? My dad used to whistle all the time, and now I hardly ever hear whistling. But he could whistle with a cigarette in his mouth. I thought that was amazing.
People always wonder what you're up to.
But it can't also go on other people's nerves, you know.
Yeah.
Well, I have a handout for you folks on celebrating. I think celebrating, trying to celebrate more celebrations into our lives. And this is a really fun thing I found in a book I have. It's every month. This is where I came out with the National Disobedience Day. So this is January, National Nothing Day, National Hugging Day, National Kazoo Day, February, Dan Quayle's birthday, March, April, Sorry Charlie Day, Dismal Day, Lumpy Rug Day in May, No Socks Day, National Yo-Yo Day in June, July. Well, that's National Nudist Day. Anyway, there's a whole bunch of interesting celebrations that you can incorporate into your life. Over there. Oh my God. Well, lighten the load is, that's interesting. We do too much, right? We're all trying to be the grand poopas of the universe. And my spiritual director, she says, no is a sacred word. She says, your calendar is as important as scripture, because that's where you make the time. If you have time, what, to read scripture or to do other things that are inspiring to us. And so she says, God doesn't want us to be exhausted. And also, I have to kind of say, lightening, I just have to add it. I think lightening on material goods is important too, because every time we buy things, I mean, that takes a lot of energy to have stuff. You know, I think it's actually more stressful to have a lot of stuff, because we have to do something with it, and that takes energy. So I think simplifying our life that way. Huh? And I'm just going to add, how much time do I need?
15 minutes.
Oh my God. Okay, play lightly. I was thinking a lot of play is competitive, and I think sometimes that actually is stressful for people, especially when there's always a loser and a winner. And I think it's stressful for the winner when there's losers and for the losers when they're winners, you know what I mean? So when I think about the play lightly, I'm thinking of like adopting a playful attitude, kind of allowing yourself to be more silly. And as I said yesterday, silly comes from the root from an old European word, salie and silly, meaning blessed, joyful, and happy. And that, see the word yourself? There's a little elf in every self. So we all have a little elf in ourselves. So I'm saying give yourself permission to be silly and playful. And Friday night, Dean and I are going to lead a session at the Village Center. We're going to do some really fun games and some dancing and some laughing. And so I hope you come in. So we're going to really be playing. We're going to do some of the things I do at the jail, because I do a play and laughter class at the jail. And that play does not involve winners or losers. It's just playing for the joy of it. And so the let your light shine. Yeah, be a beacon of light. You know, it says in the Bible, don't hide your light under a barrel, okay? Mm-hmm. It's really important. So it's really important to celebrate ourselves, be our own heroes. And I like this idea. It's like occasionally giving ourselves a standing ovation. What do you think? We deserve it, right? So let's try it. Stand up. Stand up. Give ourselves. Let's give each person in this room and ourselves. You know, giving each other standing ovations or at work or something. Hey, I need a standing ovation. I finished the job, right? I think, yeah, have a seat. But I'd like to end with just singing that, this little light of mine song.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Should we sing that one?
Okay, ready? This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine, let it shine, let it shine, let it shine. All I've been holding all around, I'm gonna let it shine. Don't let Satan blow it out, I'm gonna let it shine. Don't let Satan blow it out, I'm gonna let it shine. This is just going after laughter, just kind of different, interesting little ways to go after laughter. I didn't put this together. Ideas for bringing humor to the classroom, if there are any teachers here. And then I have ideas for bringing humor and play to your work environment. It's really important. So you're welcome to these. And let's see. Why don't we do a short laughter session now? We have to keep the hold and ho-ho laughter club going here. Someday. amazing. Okay.
Somebody
else reported. So, Katrina, you kind of got the time? Okay. So let's all stand in a circle. I'm really glad that there aren't many people here. That's a special thing to do with less people.
Oh,
yay. Okay, well, is there anyone new to the Laughter Club? Raise your hand. Okay, okay, good. Okay, so let's start out with deep breathing. So you're breathing in through your nose, out through your mouth, while raising your hands up. And actually, we put our hands together. There's pressure points for emotional balance. And then breathing out. Inhale. And your exhale should be twice as long as your inhale, actually. And then, let's try it one more time. And then we hold for a couple seconds. So, your nose. Great. Now let's do some shoulder stretches just to get some blood circulating. Go the other way. Okay, first in the Laughter Club, we have a warm-up. It's called the ho-ho-ha-ha-ha. This is based on yoga, by the way, the Laughter Club. So, ho-ho-ha-ha-ha.
Ho-ho-ha-ha-ha. Ho-ho-ha-ha-ha. Ho-ho-ha-ha-ha.
Okay, the ho-ho-ha-ha-ha, that is how I signal the end of a laugh and also a warm-up. So in a Laughter Club, for those who have done it before, what I do is I demonstrate a kind of laugh, and then at the count of three, I'll help everyone do the laugh, okay? And not start before, so we can kind of keep the energy together. And eye contact is really important to see the kind of, and I guess I like to say this, that I know it's like some people feel very self-conscious, but I think after you've done it a while, you start to lose your inhibitions, maybe not the first time. But also remember, everyone else is doing it too.
Mm-hmm.
We're all looking the same way, right? Okay, I think I'll start out with the hold and laugh. We did all this. It goes like this. Ho, 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 hold it! Yeah, right hand. Ho, 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 hold it! Ho, 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 hold it! Like that?
Yeah.
Okay, everybody? One, two, three, begin.
Ho, 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 hold it! Ho, 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 hold it! Ho, 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 hold it!
So in this laugh, you're kind of like talking on your cell phone, you're walking around and doing something else. Maybe driving. Okay, so the cell phone laugh. So we're just going to walk around and mingle. One, two, three, begin.
Oh,
forced laugh. Your body doesn't know the difference. You still get the benefits. And here's a list of the benefits here. I'm not going to go through it now, but those are only some of the benefits. So, deep breathing. Go. Again. Well, now let's do a greeting laugh. And actually, I did this one on the first day. It's called the Aloha laugh.
Like Hawaii?
Aloha. So you go up to somebody and you go, Aloha. And then you go up to somebody and go, Aloha. And so we just jingle and doing that, okay?
Okay.
Okay, ready? Ready? One, two, three, begin. Aloha. Aloha. Here we go. E.
Uncle Sam is tomorrow.
Okay.
No, 4th of July.
4th of July, okay. Uh-huh. So what we do is we sing happy using he's, ha's, and ho's.
Ho's.
Okay? But we stick to the same melody. That's the only thing, right? Ready? Go.
Ha, 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 ho. Ha, 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 ho, ho, ho. Ha, 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 ho, ho, ho.
The way we officially end the laughter club is I yell an affirmation and everybody goes, yes. Okay?
Okay.
We love laughing.
Yes!
We're going to have a wonderful day.
Yes!
We're the happiest people in the world.
Yes!
Anybody else want to say anything? Yeah. That's okay. We're going to have a great dinner, right?
Woo!
Thank you for coming. Well, everybody, guess what? No matter how grouchy you're feeling, you'll find the smile more or less healing. It grows in a wreath all around the front teeth, thus preserving the face from congealing. A smile is an inexpensive way to improve your looks. That's good. A smile confuses an approaching frown. A smile is a powerful weapon. You can even break ice with it.
I like the limerick one.
Let's use it.
Because I don't have any obligations.
Good.
Good.
That's what she carries when walking.
Yeah, it's right out there.
Is that in the bookstore, do
you know? You have to order it. No, it's not. You have to order it through them.
That's really
you can do the books right out there.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's good. I mean, that actually, if you were going to actually want to try doing it on your own, that would tell you how to do it.
Can I ask where you're from? Yeah, I'm from Edison, New Jersey.
Oh, New Jersey.
Yeah.
Where is that? You went to school with you.
Oh, where did you go to school?
Where did you?
I didn't
no,
go
Indiana,
school.
I'm
New
sorry.
New Jersey?
Except from Newark, here.
Newark,
I'm from here.
Newark,
my,
yeah.
my dad was born in New Jersey.
But I'm from here, so everything, you know, like, I don't know what that
is. Edison is about 40 minutes from New York City.
Oh, really?
Oh, okay. And it's about half hour, 40 minutes, 45 minutes from New York City by train. It's about 40 minutes from New York City to where I work.
Because there's lots of opportunities in New York. There's a regular laptop club. Yeah, they have some regular laptop clubs there. Oh, wow. A bunch of people.